But there's an analogy that we use about ping pongs when we talk about communications and messaging. And so basically, like, if I throw a ping pong at you, the likelihood that you catch it is probably going to be like 90%. Right? Or maybe even 100%. If I throw 10 at you, the probability of you catching any is almost zero.
Oh, I think I see where you're going with this. So essentially, you, with the thumbnails, you want to simplify it a little bit, is what you're saying. Without, you don't want to say too much and just throw a bunch of information at people.
I noticed in your thumbnails, what you do is you do like, you have like an image of you, image of the guest, and then you have like an object in the middle.
Right.
And that's great. But the way the photos are presented are, they clash a lot because they have different contrasts, they have different lighting, they have all these different elements. So when you're looking at it, it's like it's trying to communicate a bunch of ideas, and it can be really hard and not very easy on the eye to see and read and understand.
Man just shit all over my thumbnails there. I like it though. I like it. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Wolf of Yonge Street podcast. This week, my guest is Andreas Mampianu. Very Greek name, Greek sounding name over there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll tell me if I got that right or not. But he's a venture architect, a marketing strategist, and a co-founder at Epsilon Venture Group. Welcome to the show, Andreas.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
You got it pretty close there. Like, you definitely got 90% of the way there with the name.
Okay. So how do I say your name properly?
It's Papiano. You said Papianu, I think, which is okay. I mean, that's not even the right way to say it, actually. Like, when my grandma says it, she says like Papa Iwanu.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But definitely Greek though, right? Definitely.
Definitely. Greek. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. So, I mean, you've got some big words in your description there in terms of what you do. I want you to kind of describe what that actually means in terms of the actual work. What's it entail being a venture architect and a marketing strategist?
Sure. So the venture architect aspect, again, that's just really just designing businesses and business systems and business models, right? Yeah. And so if you think about a business, you have a bunch of different components in it, you know, how you make the money, who does the operations, who does the sales. And the architect aspect of it is really just designing what that will actually look like in the business, how it works, if it works, stuff like that. Mm. And the marketing strategist part is coming up with strategies to create and implement marketing campaigns effectively.
So yes. I want you to kind of walk me through the process there. You know, I'm a new guy. I'm starting a business. I can actually use this podcast. Okay. So. Sure. I'm starting a podcasting business and I've come to you to kind of teach me how to succeed in this. And, you know, I want to eventually get to a point where I can monetize this podcast, right? How do we get started?
Okay. Well, if we're using this exact podcast as an example, then
sure. I mean, this podcast, just for context for people, only started 4 months ago. So, and I didn't have any production, audio or video production experience prior. So a lot of this is all new.
I mean, this podcast is driven by your own kind of interest, right? So, applying it from a business perspective might be a little tricky, but assuming we did, let's say you're like, forget my interest, forget my personality. In the marketing aspect and in the business side of things, there's like only a few real things to worry about. Is the product, the narrative, the packaging, and then the distribution. That's like the basis of most businesses.
Okay.
So you have a podcast, right? The podcast is effectively the product in this example. The narrative is kind of what the podcast is about, or maybe what the podcast as a whole is about, right? So the Wolf of Yonge Street here, it's like, okay, what's the narrative behind this podcast? And then you have the packaging of it. So this could be something like the branding, maybe some of the thumbnails that you use, all those little small components like that. Not entirely just the branding, but you know, generally the visual aspect to it. And then you have the distribution. It's going to Spotify, it's going to YouTube. So these basically are like the four main pillars of business overall. So you have a podcast. The most important thing that you can do, at least with a podcast, is have a really, really good product.
Okay.
Now, there are things you can sell that are bad products, right? Like Pet Rock or Zoom or fidget spinners, okay?
Yeah.
People might get mad about the fidget spinner thing, but let me explain. With a podcast, you have to sell more than just the singular episode, right? If you sell a Pet Rock, that's fine. You can sell that 10 million times. That's okay. Yeah. You can't really build a brand around that. It's a very novel, one-dimensional product. Same with a fidget spinner. There's a million people that sell fidget spinners. I don't know a single fidget spinner brand out there.
Right.
I don't know any of them. And Zune is an example of a product that was just inferior to its competitor. And it was hard for them to build a brand around that because iTunes was already out there and stuff like that, right? So with this type of business, a podcast, the product is arguably the most important thing. Is the audio quality good? Is the video good? Are you as a host good at being an orator and talking and asking interesting questions? Can you bring on interesting guests? That's the most important thing. And I would argue for most businesses, the product is the most important aspect if you want to build anything that is kind of known as like enterprise value, something that sustains in the business and actually can grow in value beyond the product itself. Right. So like the Pet Rock, for example, is just a Pet Rock. It's whatever. There's no brand. There's no enterprise value. No investor is going to look at that and be like, oh yeah, I should buy this company for $100 million because it sells Pet Rocks.
Right.
Like,
right.
Eventually people don't care about Pet Rocks. So what are you going to do next? So for you as a podcaster, building a business around a podcast, the product is the most important aspect. And then from there, what's going to probably help the product be good, or at least be perceived as good, is going to be the packaging and the narrative. So, for example, like with the thumbnails, that's arguably for a video podcast, that's probably more important in terms of packaging compared to anything else, because it's the one biggest visual piece that people see to see if they want to click or listen.
Yeah.
Right. So, a good covers are really important. And you, behind the scenes, you asked me to bring some ideas for how maybe you could help improve the podcast.
Man's just jumping right into it.
you're asking me, so I figured, you know, why not. Covers or thumbnails are really important, and I was looking at yours and I was thinking there's a theory, maybe theory is giving it too much, but there's an analogy that we use about ping pongs when we talk about communications and messaging. And so basically, like, if I throw a ping pong at you, the likelihood that you catch it is probably going to be like 90%, right? Or maybe even 100%. If I throw 10 at you, the probability of you catching any is almost zero. So this is an analogy that we use for communicating an idea. So if I come up and I introduce myself and I say like 10 things off the bat in like 30 seconds, you're going to be like, I don't understand anything that you just told me.
Oh, I think I see where you're going with this. So essentially, with the thumbnails, you want to simplify it a little bit is what you're saying. You don't want to say too much and just throw a bunch of information at people. Yeah?
Correct. Right. So imagine if one of your thumbnails was coming up to you at a party and was introducing itself. Well, it'd be much easier if it was just anchoring to one point. Like when I met you, you said, I'm a battery scientist. Very simple. I can get behind that. But if you said, I'm a battery scientist and I do this and that, blah, 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 I'm like, Victor is this guy I met and he does a bunch of stuff and it's really cool, but I don't know details. So when you think about your thumbnails, simplifying them is great. And you can look at Mr. Beast and whatever, I guess. Everybody brings up that example. But for you as a podcast, it might be interesting for you to look at maybe other other podcasts that are doing that, and not necessarily copy them, but think about the concept. It's like anything that you do is communication of this podcast, the way it's presented visually, by voice, we're speaking, by text, the headlines.
Yeah.
Right? Body language. So you want to communicate just one solid anchor point every time that people can easily understand. When it comes to images, I noticed in your thumbnails, what you do is you do like, you have like an image of you, image of the guest, and then you have like an object in the middle.
Right.
And that's great. But the way the photos are presented are, they clash a lot because they have different contrasts, you have different lighting, they have all these different elements. So when you're looking at it, it's like it's trying to communicate a bunch of ideas, and it can be really hard and not very easy on the eye to see and read and understand.
I see.
So if you took like the one, first of all, the podcast you just had with Guy Kramer, I was very interested in that. That was really cool.
Right.
It was, if there was a thumbnail where it was just a much more simple image, where it was just maybe you and him, and then like that thing that you had, that object, that's still great. But the lighting and the contrast should be a lot more similar, so that way it's easier to kind of read and be introduced to it. So what you could do, a practical thing you could do, because you're a one-man army, you're trying to learn all this stuff with video and all this stuff, right? Like, that's a lot. Right. There's a simple web tool called removebg.com. So what you could do with any one of your guests, if you have photos, is you could upload the photos of you and that guest and the object, and you could remove the backgrounds.
Right.
And then you could place them all into one background. So that alone would eliminate so much kind of visual communication that's like so extra, instead of what the main point is, which is you talking to this person about this thing.
All right. Wow. No doubt.
So that was a bit of a thing on thumbnails, which is kind of nuts. But
man just shit all over my thumbnails there. I like it though. I like it. Keep him coming.
Yeah. So, okay.
Carry on. That was point one. Carry on.
I was just gonna say, like, it's just an example of really when I was going to the whole idea of packaging behind a product, like, it's things like that that make it so much more easier to communicate. And we're using the podcast as an example, right? So the other thing too is narrative, like I mentioned. So what's the story? What's the intrigue behind it? You know, like, for you, you're a battery scientist. I've never met a battery scientist in my life. That's crazy. Wow. Right. So in your world, you meet tons of other battery scientists, I'm sure. But like, how many are there in the world? I don't know. Is there 10,000 out of 8 billion people? I don't know how many there are. Right. But the point is you're not walking around every day meeting a battery scientist.
Right.
That's interesting. So as a point of narrative, what you could say, really, is like, I noticed in your descriptions and Spotify and on YouTube and whatnot, you don't mention that. You don't say, hi, my name is Victor, I'm a battery scientist by day, and at night I'm a podcaster and I like to talk to interesting people. Just that little bit there. Like, whenever you walk to a room and you see people and you're like, who are they? You just have that curiosity as a human. Like, it's just a normal trait. Yeah. So if you just said, hey, I'm Victor and I do blah, 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 that immediately like fulfills everybody's like feeling of who is this person and what is this about. It's very simple.
Right.
And from there, then you go into distribution, which is, well, how do you get this thing out there? So with that, I mean, depending on what your business is, there's a million things to do, but for a podcast, there's a lot you can do, but as a one-man army, I have a few things that I guess I could offer you.
Just for context for people, the way I currently distribute is the most amateurish way you can do it. But essentially, when I have an episode, I spam everywhere. I spam TikTok, spam Instagram, you know, get shorts got up on YouTube, and basically, yeah. You know, the full episodes, obviously the audio parts of the podcast goes on Spotify, and obviously I create the video material for YouTube. So mm-hmm. Now how would you change that? And I want you to come at this in a way that obviously, you know, helps people coming up as well, so that they can learn from some of, and I'm happy to share my mistakes so that people can kind of learn from that, you know. And obviously, you know, if you're going to try and do something like this, you're going to make mistakes. It's just the way it is. And I've accepted that at this point. Yeah. No, I've accepted that at this point. And that's the why we're going through this exercise. So
carry on. Yeah. No, all good. So distribution. Yeah. You have TikTok. You put it on TikTok. You put it on Instagram too?
I do put it on Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. And then you put shorts out on YouTube.
Yes.
When an episode is released, how soon do you put shorts on YouTube specifically?
So usually the shorts might be out. What I used to do was I would have the shorts out 2 days or so before the episode comes out, just to get people's interest peaked. But along the line, I learned that sometimes because of the way media is presented these days, you know, a lot of people want to, the 30 seconds makes them uninterested in the full format. And the audience for short form style format is very different from the long form. So the way I've kind of moved to doing that is one where I put the shorts, you know, maybe on the same day as the full episode. That way, if someone is interested, even if I can only divert like 5 people from the shorts to actually watch the full video, then at least I know I've got those 5 people, right? And so nowadays I would put like a short maybe the same day as the full episode, and what I then proceed to do is chop up a few more shorts that go maybe like 2 days after or 3 days after, and kind of fill out the week with shorts. Is the strategy I've been using for the podcast right now.
Yeah. Okay. So what I've come to learn is one of the strategies you could implement yourself would be to only make a couple of shorts that just go on TikTok and Instagram. Don't even put anything on YouTube for a few days.
Oh, interesting.
And those pieces of content, you're right. First of all, short form audience can be different from long form audience usually. But if you have an interesting enough guest or an interesting enough topic, or if you just cut it in a certain way where there's some intrigue, you might find some people will go and watch the full thing. I mean, I do that often myself with a bunch of things that I like. If you just put those on TikTok and Instagram first, what you're basically doing is you're creating this kind of funnel where people are just seeing that stuff, and then they maybe go check out your page, and then maybe from there there's a link to the YouTube or the full thing. The reason why not to put it on YouTube right away is because YouTube's your main source of distribution for the full length podcast, at least for video, right? So with YouTube, and obviously algorithms change often, but right now the general advice is most of your views on YouTube will probably come within about 48 to 72 hours, roughly in there. Right. Because it's distributing a portion of it to your subscribers, and if they like it, then it'll get sent to other subscribers and other people, and slowly the algorithm starts picking it up.
Right.
And so usually the process all happens within like the first 2 or 3 days of a video.
Right.
So if you wait, if you have this thing driving, you know, short form audience members to the long form on YouTube, and then you wait a little bit on YouTube to release more shorts, what you're effectively going to do is you're driving people in, and then you have the shorts that are starting to slowly pick up some steam, maybe to drive more people in through YouTube after the main thing's already been out and it's had its time to kind of be exposed from the algorithm in the most natural ways.
So I actually have a follow-up question on that, right? So a lot of, and I don't know if this is true or not. I've heard people say that, you know, the timing. So if you post on a certain day, you know, it affects the way, you know, the algorithm picks up stuff, because, you know, there's times, peak times when people are, you know, on their phones, you know, they're on their phones, and maybe you want a time to try and get in on that traffic. And I wonder how you perceive that. Is that true? Or, you know, and there's also things like, you know, not just the time you post, there's also the day you post and how that affects, you know, how the algorithm picks things up. What's your perception of that?
Most of that stuff doesn't really matter in the long term, but in the short term, when you do release a video, it can matter, because most algorithms, what they do is they show a small portion of your audience that video. So The whole idea behind posting at a certain time is really just to say, okay, I have 1,000 people that like to watch my stuff, and they're usually active at these times. So if I post here, it'll be more likely that they see it. And then if they see it and like it, then it'll be more likely that it spreads quicker. Because basically The algorithms, the way most of them work, is when you release a piece of content, they show it to like basically like a focus group or a small sample size.
Right.
If they like it, with whatever positive signals the algorithm gets, maybe it's likes or comments or shares or whatever, or even just a full watch time. Right. Then it shows it to more people and more people, and then it slowly just grows out like that.
Yeah.
But in your case, like I would argue that's probably only important for people with really large audiences, just trying to maximize something. I think in your case, what's going to really help you is just if people like the content in general, not like when they see it, right? Because you're building this thing, so. Those are like micro optimizations.
Yeah.
And what you want to focus on is just getting more volume of people to view your stuff.
Yeah.
So posting at the right time for you, very micro, very like small stuff, not to worry about. What's more interesting for you is how do you get a bigger audience to come view your stuff? And So one idea could be that with your guests that you have, you could try giving them some clips of their own to post.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea.
So like guests come on, right? You're going to chop the content anyways, right? So guests come on and they say, or and you're like, hey, thanks for coming, doing my show. I made a couple of clips that I think would be great for you. You can have them if you want, post them however you want. All good, right? And then they get that kind of like a little bit of a keepsake, so to speak, a little something extra that they can share on their audiences. Because your guests, they want to help. They also want to propel themselves, right? So if you give them something that helps them with that, then they'll likely post, and that will happen to their audience as well.
Yeah.
As well as one that you already have. And then also, one thing you could try doing, at least in the immediate sense, would be on Instagram and on TikTok, find your guests' social medias and tag them and stuff whenever you post shorts or whenever you post stories about it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, because the bit of growth that I've had so far has come from, you know, a lot of times like the guests I have, I will kind of tag them in the shorts, and I had one episode semi blow up, where, you know, the lady from this episode was discussing, like, you know, people lying on their resume. She was an HR person. And she posted this stuff on like LinkedIn and posted it on like her Facebook and stuff like that. And I was getting this audience I would never have reached otherwise coming to view the podcast. And it was interesting. And this is just, again, for people who are just starting this, to understand sort of the effect of like word of mouth in that way. Mm-hmm. These are people I would never have met. And because they were her friends, they came, watched, and a lot of them were like really dedicated friends, I must say, because it was like a 1-hour episode. And that episode is probably till date is still my most watched episode, because they stuck around, they stuck through it. They really wanted to hear what she was saying. And that kind of inspired a certain sort of strategy in me. And to be fair, I have actually been doing that a bit more, where, you know, you tag the guests and you get them to post when they can, for those people who are open to that kind of thing. That's an underrated strategy. I feel like a lot of people need to learn still. Yeah.
Yeah. That's important. So you experience a little bit of that, and you see if she, I don't know how she got the content from you, right? But imagine if you just gave her the clips. Like, she might have posted them quicker and posted them everywhere quicker.
Right.
Because she's, I'm assuming she's a professional in HR, right? So it helps her when a piece of her media does well. So she'll help you make the podcast as big as it can and stuff like that. All your guests are essentially going to do that for the most part. Because they want to see themselves succeed and they want to see you succeed. It's kind of like, you know, it's perfect in that regard.
Yeah. Right?
So if you tap into more strategies like that, at least for now, and then also, you know, she's in HR, a lot of people, most people have jobs. Most people want to figure out how they can get better jobs. Like, that's just good content for most people.
Yeah.
Right. Especially right now, where I can pretty much make any job posting and get like a couple hundred people to apply.
Wow.
Like, as an employer right now, the biggest problems that we see are that there's too many applicants.
That is wild.
Before COVID or whatever, it was like the Great Resignation or something like that, right?
Yes.
But now there's too many applicants. Mm. And it's actually a real problem. I have other business friends and whatnot talking about how like they won't post jobs on LinkedIn or they won't post jobs here or there because they just get flooded like crazy and nobody has time to sift through all that. And then when they have the AI do it, sometimes it's still really bad. Like, they're still getting like weird people in, or it's not reading things correctly. Like, there's a lot of problems there right now in the HR world.
Right.
So a lot of employers are like doing referrals, like, hey, do you know anybody who does this? Or they go up to the employees and like, do you have a friend who does XYZ? It's just easier because it's already trusted and you only have to deal with like, you know, five people. You don't have to deal with like 1,000 people applying. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
So this is good content that most people want to learn about because, you know, they're probably dealing with trying to get better jobs and they're having a hard time. And, you know, sitting on the other side of the desk, so to speak, it's like kind of a pain to hire people because too many people come through and we're like, oh my God, I got to spend 30 hours sifting through resumes. Then I got to organize interviews and I got to interview those people. And then, you know, before you know it, a whole month has gone by and you got like a short list of a few people.
Yeah.
It's a problem there, right? So that's just good content. And you have an interesting background in the sciences. So you could probably use that a bit more in certain ways.
There's actually a semi-interesting reason why I don't put that out there. It's because, well, I still get paid at this job. and you know, last thing you want is, you know, the way social media can be, where last thing you want is people showing up at your job or, you know, messing that part of your life up before this one is really up to scale. So that's why I keep that a little bit on the down low and don't kind of put it out there a bit too much. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't upload your CV to the video. Don't do that. But just saying like, hey, I'm a battery scientist and I just find these people interesting, you know, like that's already interesting. I don't know any other podcast with battery scientists.
Interesting.
So you can just use like these little angles. They're just part of the narrative. That's all.
I mean, You've gone through the fact that, you know, I'm a person trying to grow a podcast, and you've described the fact that, you know, under the product, you know, you said essentially you want to make videos that people want to watch, right? You want to make content that interests people. In terms of the packaging a little bit, you've kind of said, well, you know, your thumbnail is the way people decide whether they want to interact with your content. So it's important that, you know, for me, you obviously I've said it was okay for you to use my podcast as kind of like an example here, and you've told me that a particular point of like something I can improve is obviously the contrast and the thumbnail, because you know it can be a little bit overwhelming, and I take that on board. And the other thing I think because we're going up to five here, yeah, right? So the other thing you've said is in terms of distribution, in terms of leveraging like the guest network, right? So we've got two more. How can we're trying to get to a point where we can monetize the podcast, by the way. So two more.
Yeah. Okay. So the product itself. So we had a minor technical error, right, when we were just starting all this. Right. And I think one of the ways that could be cured, if you were willing to invest even the tiniest amount of money into this, right, is you can get a product called Riverside.fm.
Okay.
And this is literally made for podcasting. I think it's going to be about 30 or 40 bucks a month or something like that.
Okay.
So the way it works is you have your video and your track, basically, that's recording. The guest comes in and they have their own. So you have two separate tracks. So if there's any lag or if there's any issues, it doesn't matter because it's recording off of each person's device. So when I see you lag, right, when you start lagging, your video will still be fine on your end because it's recording what you're seeing, even though I'm lagging on your side. So that's all the same.
Oh, interesting.
And then it automatically syncs up. And then with that, as part of the rest of everything else, it'll help you with editing because you can edit inside of the product. It'll help you create clips because you can create clips and auto-generate them inside of the product. And then it'll also help you, I believe, with some audio stuff. So this is like a suite, so to speak, that's going to help you not only increase the overall product, but also make it more efficient to promote it and distribute it at the same time.
Right.
Oh, so,
okay. So find the no, carry on.
This is one of the main things I think would be like quick, simple, easy, in that regard.
Yeah. So find a better platform to conduct my interviews. I like it. All right. What's the last way?
Well, the last one, a tidbit more, I guess, on packaging might be you. I think you do some. I saw at least on the Guy Kramer one, you had like some trailers, right? Or you had a trailer in the beginning.
That was the first time I tried that. That's a new thing I'm trying out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think keep it up and see if you can improve on making it feel more like an edit. Does that make sense? Like you see like edits on, there's this one podcast that does it well in particular. There's a couple, yeah, I guess.
I want to say Diary of a CEO does that very well. I don't know if you watch that podcast.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, they do that well, right? So why is that good? It's good because when you're on the YouTube app, it starts showing basically like a pre-roll of what the video is. Like it just starts playing it, right? And so this gives you an opportunity to capture somebody who's like scrolling through or they're looking at video thumbnails and they go to hover over it to see if it's something interesting.
Right.
So if you have that trailer in the beginning, I think about like a movie trailer. You're just showing you really interesting visual elements and trying to, you know, kind of make you intrigued and interested to come and watch the movie. Mm-hmm. In this case, you can click. So all you have to do there is if you can add like a little bit of interesting maybe visual effects or lighting or even have captions that are kind of, you know, moving around and whatnot, talking about what people are saying. These are little tiny things that might get people more interested in clicking because when they see it, especially the captions, right? Because most of this stuff is always on mute. And that's actually really important. So when you do your captions or when you do shorts, actually, especially if you use Riverside, you'll be able to have captions automatically playing on the videos that'll highlight as people are speaking.
Right.
So these are good visual cues for people because they can read what's happening. It's so short and fast that it keeps them stimulated visually.
Would you put that on obviously on the shorts, I don't know if you had a chance to see the shorts, but I would typically put the words on the shorts. And except if I'm interviewing somebody who maybe has a bit of a different intonation to what we're used to here. So maybe, you know, a person that is more like a Latin person or, you know, a person, you know, from where I'm from Nigeria, you know, having a proper Nigerian accent. I don't have a proper Nigerian accent anymore, but someone with a proper Nigerian accent, then I might put, you know, the captions in there. So, but I've often kind of had a love-hate relationship with putting the captions on, because I've often thought that it might be a bit distracting for someone watching like a longer video.
Yeah, I would only have it for just the trailer in the beginning.
Okay.
Just that first like minute, just only that, and then the rest is a normal conversation.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I mean, those were really good pointers, but I really want to move this on to something else now.
So Liver King is interesting in this aspect again, because I would argue he presented himself as being genuine, at least earlier in the days.
Yeah.
Even though he was probably lying about all that stuff for a long time, right? But he presented himself as being genuine, and that sold. And now, from last I saw, he presents himself as being a liar, and that still sells.
So, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
So would you have to be genuine? Do you have to be a liar to sell anything? No, you can pretty much make it up. What you need to have are people who care about you and what you represent, liar or not. I think it doesn't really matter too much, but in the end, I will say this, probably better to be real and genuine than to lie overall, because eventually it seems like most lies come to light. For example, Diddy.
Oh, you went there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf of Yonge Street podcast. If you derive value from this podcast, please don't forget to subscribe. I would love to hear from you as well. So please comment your thoughts down below.